Good afternoon and shalom. We want to bless God because of his doing in our midst. We are little going on to understand how Jesus prepared his disciples to become agents of change. The last session, we discover Jesus revealing to his disciples who Jesus is. And he asked them two questions. And one of the questions was, who do people say I am? And we said, Jesus used a method where he invited people to discover the truth for themselves. He did not want to bank the truth or to just keep on teaching and teaching. He wanted to have discovery studies. These are similar to the Bible studies that we normally have, where small groups of people come together to discover the truth, to construct the truth, because we are created like God, with the image and likeness of God, and we are able to construct the truth so that we can be able to present this truth. And so Jesus asked them a question, who do people say I am? And then they replied, and they were correct. Then he asked a second question, who do you say I am? And Jesus answered that question correctly. Now, at this particular juncture, Jesus is going to ask these disciples, because he said, after answering the four selves of Jesus, self-dimension of the desire of the nations, he of course said, do you will to become my disciple? And of course he said, you must deny yourself, take your cross daily and follow me. If you want to win, you must lose yourself. You must allow me to teach you, and you must allow me to guide you. And so Jesus invited these disciples now to a lesson, and he will be answering at least three main questions here. Just as a way of introduction, we'll get to know them. Number one, he will be answering this question, who do you say your enemy is? Who is your enemy? Are you ignorant of your enemy? And we are going to be able to see, as soon as they come out of the mountain, they encountered the enemy. And Jesus is want them to know, who is your enemy, or the enemy of the kingdom? And this is Satan himself. And what are his ways? How does he work? What does he do to limit us? The second question that Jesus will be answering, or he wants them to answer, is that what is the state of the people whom we are called to change? What is the state of the children and young people and old at the foot of the hill? When they come down from the mountain of transfiguration, they found the state of a young boy. And we want to use a young boy here, a child, a teenager, a kingdom generation, to show and to represent what Jesus said, that they are like children, or they are like sheep without a shepherd. And he also want them to answer that question. What is the state of the people that you have to minister to? And the question which Jesus wants to tackle here is this question. What is the state of the kingdom worker as he enter into the ministry, as he enter into the class of discipleship? And because Jesus will want them, and here, when you talk about to understand this, we want to understand the inadequate current state of the people who join Jesus's class. And we want to see 8 examples. But to begin with, as time allows, we might only want to see only 4. And then the second session, we'll look at the other 4 states of you and I as we join his discipleship class. Look at verse 37. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met, and a man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child. A spirit seizes him, and he suddenly exclaims. It throws him into convulsion, so that he foams at the mouth. It severely leaves. It scarcely leaves him and is destroying him. I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not. You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here to me." Now, let's look at this, and let's start looking at the situation of the agent of destruction. That is the spirit of the devil. Here, when they come from the mountain, the 3 disciples, they come and find the 9 disciples trying to exhaust it, or trying to drive a demon from a child. A certain man had seen the disciples of Jesus, and he brought his only child, his son, his only child. This son of his, he was demon possessed, or the demon had cast him. And he says that when the demon comes in, it throws him into convulsion. So that the boy fumes at the mouth, and the demon scarcely leave him, and is destroying him. So he described very well 2 conditions here. He described the enemy's condition and the child's condition. He describes the enemy. And the enemy basically has got 3 parts. We don't want to deal with them, all of them. But let's be mentioned here. The demons, or the spirit of the devil, he works in 3 dimensions. Number 1, the spirit of the enemy work from the witchcraft point of view. We will deal with this as we continue. But one of the main pillars or main roles is he works as a witchcraft. He uses witches, but they're defeated in Jesus' name. The other way of the demons is the spirit of racism, in the spirit of tribalism, in the spirit of eliminating other people and seeing itself as a better. And for that reason, they make people fight and kill each other, because they make people to see them different than being the same. Number 3, the spirit of the devil works with the spirit of religion, a very bad spirit. This is a spirit that does not call God. It doesn't require God. It is a spirit of self-help. It is a spirit of secularism. That is how the power of Satan is. And he kills, he destroys. You can see his work is to kill, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's destroying a child here, a boy. And there he is. Then we can see the condition of the boy. And this is the target audience. He has also 3 conditions. Number 1, the boy is helpless. The boy cannot help himself. Number 2, the boy needs a helper, but there's no helper. It's like sheep without shepherd. That's why the father could not make it. The father is, he has no power. The father is hopeless. He's desperate. He has tried to do anything, but he's not able to do it. He takes it to the disciples and he says, "I begged your disciples to drive him away, but they could not." So there were no workers who could be able to drive out the devils, especially. And number 3 is that this boy was harassed by Satan. Look, they are throwing the boy into conversion. The boy forms. Matthew says they throw the boy to the hot water, to fire, and they want to kill the boy. They want to choke the boy. He has burned. The boy had already burns and all that. The boy was harassed. Physically, he was harassed. Spiritually, he was harassed. And therefore, he has got these conditions. But I want you to know, this is the condition of the people of the nations as Jesus comes to them. And he's preparing us to do that. But here, very briefly, I want us to look at four states or four case study of the people, disciples that Jesus is preparing. Actually, they are called inadequate, the current state of the disciples that Jesus is preparing. So we are going to be answering the question is, who are you, or who do you think you are? Who are you? What are you in the kingdom of God? What are you in the kingdom of God? And we'll be able to look at the criteria of looking at this kingdom of God. Of course, there is the way we entered into the ministry, and there is the way we are now. And we want to appreciate that we are in the process of becoming. Jesus is chiseling out. He is transforming us. Jesus is in the business of changing us. The good thing is, we are not who we were. The bad news is, we are not who we ought to be. That's the bad news, that we have not fully maximized our potential. We have slept somewhere. We have not taken the land as the Lord desires. You remember when Joshua was just about to die, God visits him and tells him, Joshua, you are very old, but there remains a lot of land to be conquered by you. He is saying, Joshua, you've not done it very well, because a lot of land you're supposed to have conquered, but you've not conquered. But the good news is, we are in the hands of God being prepared. Can I just quickly give you four case scenarios that represent you and me as we enter into the ministry? Verses 37 to 43. The first of these is called helpless agent of change, or helpless kingdom worker. Very helpless. Look at that. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him, and a man in the crowd cried out or called out, Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child. A spirit seizes him, and he suddenly exclaims. It throws him into conversion, so that he fumes at the mouth. It scarcely leaves him and is destroying him. Look at verse 40. I begged your disciples to drive him out, but they could not. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here. Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a conversion. But Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. So what do we see? Those verses, we look at helpless agents of change. They could do nothing. They tried. They are desperate. Are you here and you feel desperate like these people? How do you think these nine disciples felt? Very desperate. Very, very desperate, because they could not be able to do what they were supposed to be. But that's the good news, is that they are in God's workshop, and God is working for them. Second category is verses 44 to 46. 44 to 46. While everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, He said to his disciples, listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. But they did not understand what he meant. It was hidden from them so that they did not grasp it. And they were afraid to ask about it. Now, this is about ignorant kingdom workers. Ignorant kingdom workers. The truth is, Jesus is telling them what he is just about to do. But the Bible says they did not understand what he meant. Very ignorant. Number two, just there, it was hidden from them. Their eyes were closed. And number three, allowed them. They did not grasp it. Even if you give them anything, it was very hard. And number four, they were afraid to ask about it. So are you in that category where you are an ignorant kingdom worker? But the good thing is we are in the hands of God. The third case study comes from verses 46 to 48. An argument started about the disciples as to which of them could be the greatest. Now, this is what we call an argumentative kingdom worker. This is where we have got a proud kingdom worker. This is where a kingdom worker has got a wrong view of himself. This is what we call low self-esteem, high self-esteem of himself. Look at what they're doing. That to which they were actually argumentatively discussing who is the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand before, you know, beside him. Then he said to them, whoever welcomes this child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For it is the one who is least among you who is the greatest. Now, this is something that we must be understood. Many of us thought that they have got a wrong view on themselves. Very badly. They have got an skewed view on themselves. It's a proud one. Just because you have performed one miracle, just because you have been the mountain, just because a few things have come. But look, you are very proud, argumentative quackers. And number four, and the last one, is 49 and 50. Master, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he is not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said, for whoever is not against you is for you. Now, this is the one that we call sectarianism. Sectarianism is where you have got a sector, is where you believe that you are the best. This can even go to churches. Some churches believe that they are better than others. Some churches, because they have got more members, they believe that they are the original churches. In fact, some of them call themselves mainstream churches. I don't know who gave them those titles. That others are tributaries, others are mainstream. Let me tell you, that is sectarianism. That is excluding others. And the disciples here, they saw somebody drive demons in his name, and they were trying to stop him. Jesus said, don't stop him. This is to tell you that the church is bigger than you think. We are not the best. In fact, some of us have only spent a quarter of their potential. Just quarter. And they are bragging out. And because of that, we cannot get to the next level of growth. Because we are not like Paul, who says, I forget the past and I push to what is ahead of me, so that I can be able to come apprehend what the Lord has apprehended for me. These are four inadequate states of the kingdom workers that Jesus has to change. We will be able to look at the next four in the next phase. Lord, open our eyes to see who we are as we enter into your ministry, and help us to be ready to learn as you want us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.